Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Joining us right now on Ben and Woods and our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, the owner and chairman of the San Diego Padres, Peter Seidler, is with us. Peter, it's great to have you on this morning. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to be on. I wish we were in the mix right now, but it is a great day for baseball today. In about 90 minutes, we can watch four games all day long, and I'm looking forward to that. It kind of a little bit of pain watching him, but I do enjoy it. And there's a lot of excellent baseball to take in, of course.
Well, Peter, let me start. Let's get your perspective from the top. It's easy for fans watching in to say, I think this team has a culture problem. But as someone who is watching over this franchise, as you look both at your team, the clubhouse, at your front office, you know, AJ, his staff, how would you evaluate the culture of the San Diego Padres and its strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, when I evaluate things, I can't be caught up in the moment or, you know, recency bias, which is a phrase that gets used these days. You know, look back, you know, precisely 1 year ago, our culture looked pretty darn good as we came back and beat the Cardinals to advance in the playoffs. And even, you know, look back into June when we were atop the baseball standings as exciting a team as has been seen in baseball for years and years. But of course, I also saw the wheels just come off the bus over the last few months of the season. And that's a huge disappointment to me. And it is throughout the organization. That said, I think there are some things within our culture, maybe particularly trust comes to mind, that we need, you know, we took a little bit of a step back this year and we need to fully correct that. We will. And our eyes are focused on, you know, making sure that the level of trust throughout the organization is what it should be. And you know, just one final thought that comes to mind when it comes to trust and culture and some things that seem, you know, kind of obvious. In my view, sometimes you have to say things out loud, you know, instead of assuming that everybody gets it, you know, that everybody assumes we're pulling on the same end of the rope or rowing in the right direction. And you know, I've said this in the past several days. One thing that comes to mind as it relates to the end of this season is our organization, and it starts with me, we let little molehills become mountains when it came to, you know, little problems that could have been squashed and never heard from again. And I think, to me, that was maybe the most important lesson learned from this season, because by and large, we have a great culture. The people like working together. I mean, you talk about a great relationship and culture, the relationship between the fans and our players, it's remarkable and will only get better. But I think some things were missing this year. And, you know, after You know, it's been several weeks now since we were eliminated from postseason possibilities. We get on things fast, and it, you know, I can already see things quickly moving in the right direction. And, you know, with every passing day, I just get more and more optimistic about the kind of ball club that we're going to have when we start the 22 season and the expectations that we will and should have and what we do from there.
We are talking to Peter Seidler, Padres chairman, here on Ben and Woods this morning. And going back to that what you said about trust, was that a general manager trust? Was that a player manager trust? Could you expand on that just a little bit more?
You know, I think bits of it flowed throughout our organization. And, you know, I think it's important from time to time, you know, for me to talk to you or talk to the fans through you. I'm not going to pretend that it was, you know, two little episodes and that was it. It's been widely reported that, you know, and even though I don't like, you know, the unnamed sources sure. article, I understand why they occur. And, you know, one thing I believe is anytime you're criticized, you're all personalized, that any time over the course of my career where I've been criticized, I may really disagree with that criticism, but almost always, if not always, there are at least threads of truth in the criticism. And I think the first thing we need to do is own it. And whether that was manager, coach, you know, coach, manager, player, you know, I think what I said before, you got to say things out loud when there's a little bit of a lack of trust or you're starting the field a little bit. I think we could have done a better job this year getting people in the room and saying, this doesn't happen here, period. And have everybody kind of recommit to, you know, why we're doing what we're doing. You know, we've put a good team together. We've put a good organization together. But the reason we're doing that is to win a world championship for the city of San Diego. And that happens, in my opinion, only if everybody's really pulling in the same direction. We had it in a very strong way in 2019. We lost some of it last year. And, you know, as I sit here today, I'm completely confident that we'll come back stronger than ever, having, you know, taken our lumps in 2020 and I'm sorry, in 2021. And we'll be better than ever next year.
Peter, you gave a very strong endorsement to your general manager last week coming off this season. I think the word 100% was used regarding AJ Preller. Why do you still have such confidence in him? And since AJ himself said that he needs to be better, what areas do you feel like he could still improve at in his job?
So I've long believed any executive has to get better every year because the world moves fast. You know, the sports world moves fast. The business world moves fast. And even, you know, if you've had success in a year, the next year you always have to take it to the next level. And it is AJ's responsibility to put a team on the field and make sure the managers and coaches are the kind of people that can pull the best out of those players. And I think he does an excellent job at that. You know, we can look back with perfect hindsight and say the last two managers here only lasted 2 years. AJ doesn't like that. I don't like that. I was enthusiastic personally after the interviews with Jace. And let's remember, you know, Jace was number two in manager of the year voting last year. And this year, a lot of things just didn't go right. And, you know, we felt we needed to make a change in the manager's chair, despite the fact that there was all kinds of blame to go around. And as highly as, you know, both AJ and I think of Jace. So, which is why I hope he'll stay with the organization and he's thinking about it. But the multitude of things that a general manager needs to do well in that job. I think AJ is perfectly suited for it. And, you know, you're right. When something doesn't go well, he will take a step back and reflect on it and learn from it, as will I. But he will be the person that leads San Diego to the world championship that we talk a lot about. I really could not be more confident in that.
Wow, that's a super strong statement. And Peter, I got to imagine in your life, in your career, you've sat down and sat in on a lot of interviews. And the guy that comes in and says, you know, my greatest weakness, Peter, Mr. Seidler, is that I work too hard and I care too much. We've all heard that corny adage, right? I honestly, and I said it a few weeks ago, AJ Preller may be the only person that can say that and actually mean it. I really think that that's the case. Stories come out about the work that he does tirelessly. Would you like to see him maybe hone it in and focus a little bit more? We know he's got a great eye for talent. We know that. There's no question about it. Would you like to see him maybe hone it a little bit more and learn to delegate a little bit more and worry, I guess, about the major league roster more?
So I'll say this: when things don't go well, and with the very, very high expectations that we had heading into this season, they did not go well at the end. You know, what I've found is because of the bright public spotlight on professional sports, whether it's fans or media or that combination, other analysts, former executives, narratives get created, and from time to time they're correct, and often they're not correct. But to say that AJ does not spend a lot of time on the major league roster is simply incorrect. You know, he knows, I know, that's the most important thing. I kind of disagree with the premise that he's hyper-focused on finding the next, 17-year-old Roberto Clemente or something, as opposed to looking at our major league roster and being equally passionate. I think AJ's an example of an executive whose job entails both minor leagues and major leagues that can keep an eye on. He can juggle more than one ball.
Talking to Peter Seidler, the chairman of the Padres, here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Obviously, you're in the beginning stages of a managerial search. I'm sure that there's a lot of work going on right now, and I know you can't probably divulge too much, but you have said that you're looking for the right person for the job, whether it's an experienced major league manager or, as you said, the right 34-year-old. You just need the person who's going to be able to take the Padres to the next level. But you also mentioned that word trust. And as you guys look for someone who your major league roster, as it's composed now, someone that they can trust, does that not scream a little bit more for someone who has done it before? And how does that play into this search that's going on right now, Peter?
I think the short answer is yes. And trust is a great word. It's, high on my list of when I interview manager candidates, it's what I'm looking for. And experience, of course, matters. But let me just kind of flip the coin and just talk with perspective on that. There are, in professional sports now, and, maybe because I watched a few football games yesterday, it's pretty evident in football, but there are thriving coaches in their 30s in the NFL, where it was their first time job. And in the baseball playoffs, there are thriving managers where it was their first time job. And I think, because we hired first time managers and they didn't work out the way we expected, we can't exclude any and all first time managers. You know, it used to be talked about, where's the creativity in professional sports?
True.
Why are the only managers hired retreads? You know, can't we get some fresh blood in here? So, you know, the pendulum swings on that. I would say it's more likely than not, given the value of experience, that we ultimately hire a manager that's got a healthy dose of experience. But if, you know, it's not a checklist item. It shouldn't be. It's a priority for us.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair answer, you know, to be sure. Talking to Peter Seidler, Padres chairman here on Ben & Woods. The last one from me, Mr. Seidler. If you look around the playoffs right now, and it sounds like you have been watching and, you know, kind of gritting your teeth, enjoying it as we all have right now.
True,
absolutely. You see a lot of analytically driven teams, especially those two in our division, you know, the Giants and the Dodgers seemingly doing it as well, if not better than most. The Rays are another one. Are there plans, are there conversations going on at Petco Park right now about how to get better, spend more money, research, development, analytics, how to better deliver those messages and get buy-in from players at all levels about the use of analytics and data in the game of baseball?
So I'll give you my view from underneath the tent where I see this on a daily, weekly basis.
Sure.
We do believe in old school scouting and putting your eyes on a player and spending personal time with that player and getting to know their character, their passion for the game, their expectations of themselves, you know, how they are and have been through their, you know, going back to their teenage years going back to their teenage years in a lot of cases, like how was this player, you know, in travel ball? What did his teammates think of him? What did his manager think of him? The more you know personally about a player that you're going to rely on, the better. But again, I think it's a recent narrative that popped up that the Padres don't care about analytics or don't care about them as much as they should. And it seems to me it was just, you know, within the past year or two that people were kind of saying, oh, this, you know, why are the Padres shifting all the time? They just got a base hit, you know, where the player used to be. So I don't find that criticism to be accurate. I think, you know, in this off season, we're putting a spotlight on everything. You know, how can we scout better? How can we develop players better? How can we use analytics more effectively? But truly, we do that every year. We did that last year coming off a good season. We're doing it in a thorough yet similar way as we came off a disappointing season here. That's how I would address, you know, it just seems to me in the past, like 2-3 months, you know, like somebody says it and then it gets run with as far as, oh, do these guys care enough about analytics? The short answer is we do, 100%.
Aren't narratives the best?
We're going to get you either way, Peter, no matter what, right? You realize that no matter what, we're going to get you either way. That's how we do it. I do have one last question about something that I know you don't really have any experience with here in San Diego, and that's dealing with baseball's luxury tax, which you're a lot closer to than you've ever been before, and obviously with moves to be made this offseason. How is that going to impact you? What's your kind of philosophy there? Because I know it gets more penal, you know, every year that you're over the limit. What's kind of the status there? And maybe kind of explain it to us all that don't really get it here in San Diego.
So the calculation for the luxury tax is quite complicated. In other words, we were, I think, number two in baseball in the luxury tax calculation, but we were number nine in cash payroll. And I'll give you a big example that hopefully makes it a little bit clearer. But when you sign a player like Tatis to a long-term contract, the luxury tax, the luxury tax number for every year is the average annual value of that contract. So even though Tatis's contract is backloaded, and our cash payments in the first year are much less than what it is going, well, put it this way, our cash payment, as an example, to Tatis is significantly less than the average annual value of his contract. So that's why we're, and it's not just Tatis's contract, there are others that fit into this calculation, but that's why we're number two and one and number nine in the other. I think the bottom line is, and this is one of the really heartening things that I see going on in San Diego, everybody sees, just the really special relationship between the players and the fans. People love this team. They love coming out to watch it. And the support we're getting from this city leads me to make the following statement, which is, we don't talk much about money. We talk a lot about how do we win a championship? What do we need? What kind of players do we need? As we head into this offseason, what do we have? You know, what are the best ways to get better? And I think, you know, I haven't really yet met the fan that cares about how much we're spending as much as they care about how much we're winning. We're here to win. And by the time opening day rolls around next year, we'll be fully prepared to win.
It's fantastic. I think Ben was dancing around the question. He wants to know, will you double the payroll? That he didn't want to ask, and I'll wear it. Will you double what you spent this year next year, Peter? Just I'll get it out there.
Ben, maybe you and I will have a sidebar on that one, okay?
Yeah, I'll Woodsy, reach in your pocket for some of that?
Yes, I did.
Well, you know, he's a season ticket holder, Peter, so yes. He supports you. Congratulations, number two in attendance in baseball and in a shortened season, yeah, with not even full capacity available the first couple of months was absolutely amazing, and we do look forward to that day where we got the playoffs at Petco Park. That electric atmosphere is going to be amazing. We appreciate you for your time this morning and answering questions from us. And,
yeah, and your candor, very much so.
Yeah, always, Peter. Thank you so much.
Good. Thank you, guys. Talk soon.
Padres Chairman Peter Seidler on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.